Okay, we'll say a word of prayer and then we'll get started. All right, Father, Yahweh, we just glorify you. First of all, we just bless you for your son. And we thank you for your presence. And right now we seek wisdom and understanding by the leading of your spirit. And we bless you in advance for that. And we thank you for being our most high God. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. I received a I received a text message from Sonya, and in the text, she was informing me about I believe there is a hate crime that's been passed, something by the Senate, in reference to Asians.
Right.
And let me just see if I can pull some up. And I think they passed the.
I think it was in California.
I don't know. I don't know where it was, but it's just.
We got a couple months of feeling how we feel, and then they get a view.
Wow, they crowded.
You have two speed.
Yeah. I think I'll just pull this. It says COVID hate crimes against Asian Americans are on the rise. And from what I'm understanding, I guess since that is where they said the origin of COVID comes from, then because of that, they are receiving, crimes. I mean, crimes are being made against them. So it says an elderly Thai immigrant dies after being shoved to the ground. A Filipino American is slashed in the face with a box cutter. A Chinese woman is slapped and then set on fire. These are just examples of recent violent attacks on Asian Americans, part of a surge in abuse since the start of the pandemic a year ago. And so from what I'm understanding, there is a bill that was passed to make it a hate crime, which is understandable because, you know, I want to, my mindset is I want to make sure that everybody is protected. But you brought up a topic that I want to discuss, because I had the same thought. You know, we have when you look at the things that's going on as far as this country is concerned, first of all, and then the world, but specifically America, it's just a lot of things that are happening, and people from around the world are starting to pay attention to how we're being treated as a people. But what's unique about it is it's like the world is recognizing it, but our own country refuses to acknowledge and recognize it. And it's like although people all over the world are saying that, okay, America has a problem. And one article, I can't remember, did you send it to me? Okay, you sent it. Okay, one Elder sent this article. And so what made it really interesting is the individual who was a part of this panel to review these crimes against humanity, dealing with us as a people. What they said was sobering because they was like, you know, in America try to set the standard for the world about crimes against humanity, but yet in its own country they don't follow the rule per se. And that was just sobering to look at that from the point of view of someone else who's on the outside looking in and saying, man, the nerve of those, you know, that country to have that mindset. And when you look at our history as a country, and how we've always given the impression that we are responding to injustices all over the world, when you take a look at the root of it, as far as what happened to us here, it lets you know that the motivation is never about the injustice of a people. It is an excuse to get in there and get the material of that country and to bring down certain governments and things like that for the benefit of this country. They could care less about the people. They didn't care about Iraq. They wanted what was in Iraq. They didn't care about what was it, Gaddafi? What was it? What country? They didn't care about that. They didn't care about those countries and things like that. It was the resources that was in there that they cared about. And so in order to go in and do that, they have to make or demonize the people that are doing things that goes against their agenda. And if you really study the history of Gaddafi, his country loved him. They were prospering. Everybody prospered. Everybody did well. Everybody in that country was looked after, and he made great efforts to be a blessing to the people. But they took him out because there was something that they wanted, and so we have to understand that the mindset, first of all, as far as this country is concerned. But just like the question you had, I was like, okay, I'm thinking about this because, as I'm very clear about, my passion is for my people. I'm a preacher of the gospel to all who will hear, but my specific calling and passion is to my people. I love my people. And I'm not ashamed to say that in any sitting. I'm not afraid to say I'm about my people first, and I want to see my people do well. I believe anyone who's in their right mind want to see their own race do well. Other races get that, but it seems like we as a people don't get that. We would rather pull each other down than to help one another prosper. It's just the opposite, but it's just something in me. I love my people, and I want to see all my people prosper and do well. So did you have something?
I was saying, and there ain't nothing wrong with wanting to see your people do well. It's just that sometimes we want to do that at the expense or to the detriment of others, unnaturally or, overbearingly, I guess is the point.
Mm-hmm.
What other people do, which is a problem.
Okay. And so, as the thought came about, I was thinking about this, and my heart really went into the subject matter, and so I started to seek Yah for understanding, because I was like, okay, Yah, here it is, this has been passed for these, for this population of Asians. I have no problem with it. I think they should be protected and stuff like that, so that's no problem with it whatsoever. But, as bro mentioned, I'm like, okay, but what about us? I mean, what is it about us that makes, mankind not really care? I understand who we are, but I need to be able to see it clearly and be able to explain it beyond what I already know. And so Yah spoke to me, and he said this, and it just kind of left me dumbfounded. He said, the crimes against them is injustice. But what's happening to your people is justice. Mm. I was like, wow. He said, they don't deserve to get blamed for this pandemic. But your people deserve. Your people deserve what's coming to them. And I was like, man. And once he said that Rolodex started turning. all the scriptures start coming into mind. All the things we've been discussing all these years, and when we dealt with our nation and all this captivity, we just left that subject matter and the captivities and the gathering and all that. All them scriptures start turning. I was like, yeah, that's it. Yah said to me, he said, and we're gonna read these things. He said, now I'm a just God. And so whatever I allow, I'm just in what I do. It may not seem right in the eyes of your people, but yet it's just. Because it's something y'all doing. I was like, man, that was a hard slap, man. I wasn't expecting that answer. You know, I thought he was going to say, well, you know what? Well, you know, this and that, Bob. But when he put that out, I was like, wait a minute. You mean to tell me that they don't deserve what's happening to them, but we deserve it? Like, man, that's a hard pill to swallow, but you got to swallow, though. Because when you understand our history, you be like, yep, we deserve it. We deserve it. So y'all was like, when it gets to the point to when your people don't deserve it, that's when I'll do something about it. And every time I've ever done something about something, it's because it got to the point where I said they don't deserve it no more. And so
what you're saying, until we turn our ways, humble ourselves and pray. Then we won't deserve it no more.
You won't deserve it no more. We can go home now. So he takes me to Ezekiel 18. And he starts to point out some things in Ezekiel 18. And then I'm looking at our ancestors and I'm laughing at the same time, because I'm seeing what Ezekiel, what Yah is saying through Ezekiel. And at the same time, I'm understanding my people, because they're reasoning with this because they understand things in the law. And so as we read this, you're going to see them kind of, you know, Ezekiel is explaining things. And as he's explaining these things, you know, you can see the mindset of the people who are hearing this. And they're like, but that ain't right, because the law says this. And there's one word in there that changed the whole thing. And we're going to look at that. So Ezekiel 18, I'm going to start at, let me see. I'll just start at verse 1, just lack of a better place to start. So the word of Yah came unto me, saying, what mean ye that ye use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge? And he said, as I live, saith Yah, ye shall not have occasion anymore to use this proverb in Israel. Now, you have to understand our nation as far as this proverb is concerned. And so, I'll pull up another Bible here, and we'll look at some things. I'll pull up two of them. Look at some things in Exodus. In Exodus, and we'll also look at some things in whatever. Okay, what is this doing? Okay. Alright. Exodus and Deuteronomy 5. Okay. So in order for us to understand this proverb, We have to understand our law. Okay? So, when you... Yah says again, the word of Yah came unto me saying, what mean ye that ye use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. Now, when you look at this in Exodus 20, I just started verse 5. It says, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them. Okay, he's talking about the graven images. Okay, or thou shalt have no other gods before me, verse 3. He says, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, Yah, thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Okay. Deuteronomy 5. Same thing. Deuteronomy 5, verse 7. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. After our nation roams in the wilderness, is getting ready to go out and go over into the promised land, he reminds us of our law. Verse 7. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make thee any graven images or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them, for I, Yah, thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. So, when we look at this to the right of the screen, Yah is saying to Ezekiel, he said, tell them not to make this proverb among Israel anymore. Because when our nation read this law, when this law was given to our nation, and then when you look at some things that happened to our nation, Achan's sin. Remember the story about Achan's sin? Achan's sin, and what happened? His whole family. Whole family lost their lives. Okay. So our nation now, can you imagine all of us out in the wilderness and in our sin? And because I sin, my whole family is earth open up, swallow up my whole family. How y'all gonna feel about that from that point on? Everybody gonna be trying to make the kids. Yes. Gonna make the kids stay in order, all these different things gonna take place. Gonna make the kids stay in order, you know. And so our nation mindset is like this in Ezekiel. And Yah said, no. He said, make it clearer what I mean. Verse 2. He said, what mean ye that ye use this proverb concerning the land of Israel? What is proverb, first of all? Let's look at the word proverb. Use this proverb. When you look at the word proverb, it says in mental action, metaphorical nature, assembly, discourse. Okay, metaphorically speaking, assembly. In other words, you know, y'all remember what happened to Achan's family, and you know, and so we want to make sure that we keep everybody in order, you know. So Yah says, now I can get out of this since we understand what the law is saying. Okay. So he says, the word of Yah came unto me again, saying, what mean ye that ye use this simile concerning the land of Israel, saying, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are on edge. In other words, the father did something, now the children saying, oh man, they're on edge because what you know, what the father did, you know, he said, why is this proverb out there? Why y'all use this as an example? Why do we use Achan as an example of what could happen to the whole house? That's what he's saying through Ezekiel. Then he says, as I live, said Yah, ye shall not have occasion anymore to use this proverb in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. So when you look at this now, it gives a clear understanding of Exodus and Deuteronomy. Because what did he say about the iniquity of the father? I'll pull it up again. I just pull up one of them this time. I'll pull up Deuteronomy 5. Verse 9. What does he say? Look at verse 9 again. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them. For I, Yah, thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the father upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that what? Hate me. The reason why Achan's whole family died is because Achan's whole family thought like Achan. But our nation didn't get it. They looked at it and was like, man, y'all killed Achan and his whole family. So that means the father got to stay in line, because if the father don't stay in line, then it affects the children, and it affects the children's children to the third and fourth generation. Y'all said, no, it don't work like that. He said, if a man is righteous, I judge him according to his righteousness. I don't care if he's the father or the son. So I like saying it this way. My father's iniquity may show up to visit me with the intent of delivering that sin to me, but I'm like my Savior now. Satan he's come, but he find nothing. The prince of this world has come, but he find nothing in me. Because that's in me is the righteousness of Yah. Therefore, when he show up, it's not the same stuff that's going on in me that it was my father. So the generation of the curse is broken by the state of the individual who's willing not to follow the path of that curse. So he says that hate him. So that's why he's using this proverb. He's saying this proverb can't be used anymore. And he says in verse 4, behold, all souls are mine. And the soul, as the soul of the father, so as the soul of the son is mine. The soul that sinned, whether father or son, shall die. Because the soul that sinned, according to the law, is the one that hate me. Now we come full circle about why the Asians got a law passed, and we still just hoping, wishing we can get a little something thrown at us. Y'all said, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, I forgive their sin. The soul that sinned shall die. The soul that sinned is a soul that hate me. And because that soul hate me, then things happen that are not supposed to happen.
Well, not that they ain't supposed to happen. They wouldn't ordinarily happen if you wouldn't.
The reason why I said they're not supposed to happen because we are the children of the book. And so when you look at it in its purest form, it was never supposed to happen. But because of our disobedience, right, Y'all brought it to pass to deal with that iniquity, or we as a people who hated him with our actions. So that's fine, how you put it. Then he goes on and said again, verse 4, behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the father, so also the soul of the son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. But if a man be just and do that which is lawful and right, and hath not eaten up on the mountain, eating things off of the idols. That's what that means. Neither have lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel. Neither had defiled his neighbor's wife. Neither have come near to a mistress woman. And hath not oppressed any, but hath restored to the debtor his pledge. Has spoiled none by violence. Has given his bread to the hungry. And hath covered the naked with a garment. He that hath not given forth upon usury, neither hath taken any increase, that hath withdrawn his hand from iniquity, executed true judgment between man and man, have walked in my statutes and have kept my judgments to deal truly. He is just. He shall surely live, said Yah. If he beget a son that is a robber, a shedder of blood, and that doeth the like of any one of these things, and that doeth not any of those duties, but even hath eaten up on the mountains and defiled his neighbor's wife, hath oppressed the poor and needy, hath spoiled by violence, has not restored the pledge, and hath lifted up his eyes to the idols, hath committed abomination, has given forth upon usury, and hath taken increase, shall he live? Y'all said, shall he live? He shall not live. He has done all these abominations. He shall surely die. His blood shall be upon him. Now, lo, if he beget a son that seeth all his father's sin which he hath done, and considereth it, doeth not such like, that hath not eaten up on the mountains, neither have lifted up his eyes to idols of the house of Israel, hath not defiled his neighbor's wife, neither hath oppressed any, hath not withholden the pledge, neither hath spoiled by violence, but hath given his bread to the hungry, and hath covered the naked with a garment, that hath taken off his hand from the poor, and has not received usury nor increase, hath executed my judgment, has walked in my statutes, he shall not die for the iniquity of his father, he shall surely live. As for the father, because he is cruelly oppressed, because he cruelly oppressed, spoiled his brother by violence, and did that which is not good among his people, lo, even he shall die in his iniquity. So when you look at what's going on with us as a people as a whole, it is Yah saying to us, you as a people as a whole, hate me. And because you hate me, you're never going to get the justice that you deserve. I deliver some of you. Those that walk in my statutes, those that walk in my laws, those that walk in my judgment, even when you get it on circumstances, I'll deliver you out of them because you're the righteous. That's a hard pill to swallow. Because at that particular moment, all of our loved ones, I like calling my loved ones because, like I said, I love my people, so I call them my loved ones. All of our loved ones, when we look at them, in those particular circumstances, we say that was wrong. But what is it that we don't know? That's a hard pill to swallow.
So you're saying then that all of these deaths that happen is something that Yah has already judged and allowed it to happen?
Everything. Yah's in control of all things. All things. That's the thing that's difficult for us to understand. We think that things can take place and Yah has no control of it. What I've come to understand is, you know, and that's why I use this as a cliche when I say whatever happened to me is life, and life is always for my benefit, even if that's death. I've lost loved ones. But maybe that was best. Because that loved one may have been in the right state at that particular time. And could have lost their soul if they had still been around. I don't know. But one thing I do know is Yah allowed it. And whatever Yah allows is just, whether I agree with it or not. It's a hard thing living for Yah if we don't submit to his divine purpose as far as mankind is concerned. Learn to look for him in everything. So when I heard that news, I started to look to him for the answer, because I was like, I really don't quite get this here. Why is it that, you know, I understand what the scripture said, we'll be the tail instead of the head because of our disobedience. We'll be beneath and not above because of our disobedience. But why is it so clear cut that we're, you know, things are happening to everybody else beside us? Y'all said, because you're the people that's supposed to love me the most, but yet you hate me the most. I'll stick with that. Part of our healing is admitting what we have disobeyed. Part of us growing and maturing and being everything that Yah has called us to be is going to Yah saying, okay, I know what I did. I've learned how to go to Yah and say, Yah, I know what my people did. I know why we're here. I know why we're in the circumstance that we're in. I've learned to quit having this victim mentality. Why are you always doing us like that? I know why. It's not easy, but I know why. And the scriptures reign true. If we were a righteous people, we would not be dealt with unrighteously. Now, to balance this thing, it reigns on the just as well as the unjust. There are good people that suffer because of the wickedness of others. We're reading about Ezekiel. By the way, he's in captivity too.
So, actually, generations to come are going to suffer for this.
Yes. Generations and generations are going to suffer. Have suffered in the past, are going to continue to suffer in the future for the actions that our ancestors took. That we're continuing to take on this very day.
There's a little twist to it. Is that we didn't know. I mean,
yeah.
We're suffering because of it, but we didn't know no better. Mm-hmm. But I suppose that's where God's grace comes in. Mm-hmm. And so many, when presented with the information, they reject it because it's so way out of, you know, character with what we think we know to be the truth, but it's not the truth. Mm-hmm.
The reason why people reject it is pride. They don't reject the other stuff. Even when you introduce new stuff to our people in this day and time, they adjust to the information and they accept it as being true. But when you start to reveal to them things as far as the kingdom is concerned and what our issues are, pride kick in. We enter into that state of that stiff-necked people, and we don't want to accept it. We can accept anything else though. Child, you know, they said if you go down there and stand on the corner, you know, they come out past $100 bill. You'd be shocked how many folks standing out there on the corner. Because we'll believe anything else. We'll accept anything. The one thing I've learned about us as a people, we will believe anything. But the truth. That's for sure. I ain't joking. That is for sure. You think I'm kidding? Go outside and make up a lie. I guarantee you before you get across town, it'll spread. Sometimes I be so entertained. I go on Facebook and how people be just lying. And how that lie just spread. And I be like, have y'all done some fact checking on this?
Yeah.
Such said it, so they just say it. Don't look up. You know they did that. How do you know? I don't know, but that's what such and such told me. Then you tell them about the kingdom of Yah. No, I don't believe that. I don't care what you said. Jesus is white with blue eyes. My mom and them said it, and they know what they was talking about. You know, mom and them was the one who cut the ham and put it in the pan, you know, because they didn't have a big pan. It got you cutting the ham and putting it in the pan, and now they got bigger pans. Because mom and them did. That's the mindset. And so what's happening with us right now is Yah is just, he's bringing the remnant of Israel in the truth. And we have to sit down and look at ourselves. And, you know, we don't like what we see. And we want to make excuses about it. But did nobody tell us to get down on our knees and worship the mother God? We went after them.
And it's almost like that's what opens us up to mistreatment. Here's what I mean. Like, if somebody chase after you and you tired of telling them, I don't want you, you know what I mean? And they just keep throwing themselves at you.
Mm-hmm.
It opened them up to be abused. It's like, I don't want you. Quit chasing after me.
Right.
You trying to figure out what to do to stop them coming after you, and they still won't let it go.
Right.
But that's kind of what we do.
I mean, a good point to you, what you just said is this. Someone going to ask this. What was it about us that made us want to go eat in the white restaurant in the first place? Our food tastes better, at least to me. What was so special about going and us sitting down at they bars? And what was so special about that?
Because it was forbidden.
That's what it is. It's taboo. We didn't want to show y'all all that. Okay, well, you got it now. Now that you in there and get cracked upside your head. Instead of being over there across from such and such and everybody sitting around there, you know, for fight this thought out, you had to worry about nobody, you know.
Back in the day when they
immigrated
us, I didn't
want
to go to no white school.
As a matter of fact, I remember it. A lot of y'all quit school because of that. They did it what, the 60s, around 70s, somewhere up in there. A lot of our people quit school that year. A lot of them quit. They did not want their integration. We were just fine living on that side of the track. We traded amongst ourselves. You know, everybody helped in the community. You know, Black Wall Street is a wonderful example, but there was a lot of Wall Streets where I grew up. There were stores in our community. We had our own school. We had our own everything, too, right there in Honey Grove. We didn't need them for nothing.
Teachers knew parents?
Yes.
So you get in trouble at school where your teacher already knows.
Exactly.
People are.
I remember walking to school with Mama. I was about 3 or 4, but I remember going down to the school. I remember sitting up in the bleachers watching my siblings play sports.
And they used to have back in the day when you miss school, I don't know, I forgot her name now. She used to come around. If you miss school, he'll go to your house, knock on your door, and bring you to school. If you answer that door, you in trouble.
Yeah.
Because I remember a lot of times we didn't go to school. Miss Oates, that's what they called. Knocking at that door. I know y'all in there. Y'all in there, I'm in that door. Because we don't know. We'd have to go to school.
Yeah. So Black Wall Street in Tulsa wasn't the only thing. I experienced that growing up. Yeah.
We lost a lot. Through integration.
Yes, we did.
We lost our identity because what did they do? They shut down the black schools.
Mm-hmm.
and you had to go to their school. Mm-hmm. What happened to all your accomplishments? They got thrown in the trash.
They sure did.
They got burned up.
They sure did. Yep.
So they basically wiped out the memory of what you were or who you were.
But did that happen because we was chasing after them?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
That when you look at the root of it, that's when the civil rights and all that, and they start wanting all the equal opportunities and all that. Okay, you got it. Integration. And I remember we could, there's a grain gin up the street from where, you know, from the house that I grew up in. And you could walk down there and push some of that grain back and see the old basketball court where they used to play on. And just like you said, Mama, because when they integrated, they went in there and just dumped all them photos, all that history. It was Pemberton. What was it? Pemberton. Yep. Pemberton school. Mm-hmm. Went and dumped all that history in a pile and threw it away.
Didn't even give us the option to come and get.
Yes.
Yeah, I was chasing after them. This is the consequence, I guess.
We were just fine.
And being incorporated into something that we would never be accepted into.
Never. I didn't know what it was like to go to the store and buy peaches and stuff like that. I just get the stuff off of trees and out of the garden. We traded amongst ourselves. Other races would come into our community to trade with us. They saw our stuff was growing and prospering in our community. Everybody had gardens. How many folks got gardens now? Folks would look at you when I was growing up. If you didn't have no garden, we thought something was wrong with you. Something was wrong with them. They don't even have a garden, man. What's wrong with them? Everybody had one. Because that was our custom. That was our ancient ancestral custom passed down from the times when we were the children of Israel and knew it. We were farmers. That's who we are. The land was our blessing. The land where we prospered. And so all those things are what we're experiencing. All the things that we're experiencing today are as a result of what we have done historically as a people. We have hated Yah for generations. And all y'all saying is love me.
And he's also saying he's married to us.
Yes.
Pastor, you know what? When we were coming up, and I was just thinking of this, it's like we as black kids, we always had a place to go where we were always together.
Always.
And if you think about it, I don't never remember white kids having that. It's like, unless it was like at a football game with you or all of that.
Especially events.
Yeah.
We were a community. You're correct.
And ride through and see them. But you come on the East End.
So everybody together.
Everybody. I mean, kids from the West, and then they'll come down to the West End on our side of town. And it's like, there wasn't a time when we weren't together.
It was a community. It was a community. That's what it was.
And the elders, they would sit on the porch, watch them play basketball, mm-hmm. watch us do, you know, we played games. We were active.
Yep. What was that you said, Lauren? I'm going to whoop you and send you home to your mama, and she going to whoop you again. You got two whoopings back then. Mm-hmm. Where you was at when you did it, when you got home for embarrassing mama for doing it. You got two.
They're trying to whoop poor kids.
I used to shock them teachers, boy. I used to go to school, boy, and they used to get all defensive and stuff. Well, Mr. Boys, well, y'all, look here, I know what mine would do. Just tell me what happened. And when they would tell me, I said, yep, they did it. That's the kind of stuff they'll do. But they couldn't tell me stuff that they wouldn't do. I'll be like, no, that ain't my girl. They don't do that. But I know what they will do. And when they do it, I'm in agreement with you. But don't try to lie on them, though. Yeah. And so, you know, I had to swallow that hard pill, so I decided to come out here and get y'all some of this medicine. Because I was like, oh, y'all, you mean to tell me we deserve this? And so, we're obeying the law, statutes, and judgments to the best of our ability. And we're still growing. We're still learning. But we're just like Ezekiel. We're in this situation, too, because of our people as a whole. So we have to be careful. You know, we're still in captivity also. We're still getting, you know, messed around on things that we should have gotten and all these different things and being treated ill in one fashion or another because we are the people. And you know, and we've been delivered in a lot of ways, but at the same time, just like Ezekiel went through captivity too. He's in captivity as he's telling these things. And so, so my prayer is that we as a people get it. We're going to get it someday, but my prayer is that we get it.
How do we get from point A to point B?
Man, well, it boils down to sharing this information as much as we can. And like what he told Ezekiel in Ezekiel 3, you don't, and this is my mindset, I'm trying to be very careful about saying this because I know y'all don't, but I'm just saying I don't want anyone that will hear this will think I mean something other than what my heart really means for my people. When I preach the gospel, my goal is that I want you to get it, but that's not my concern. That's not my responsibility. And so, you know, I've had people, and that's okay when people even ask me that. It's just that I sincerely don't know because I don't care. I've had people to say, how many church members do you got? I'd be like, I don't know. I don't care. All I care about is if you want to hear it, fine. If you don't, fine. That's my mindset. I will never count members. Never. You never see on a church roll we got such and such members because I care less about that. You know, Elder tell you, he had to ask, how can somebody go about joining this church, you know? Because my goal is not seeking members or you know, membership or numbers, and I'm not concerned about, you know, the bigger the church is, the more money coming in. I care less about all that stuff. My responsibility, or the only thing I care about is telling you the truth. What you do with it is your own personal gain or loss. That's what y'all told Ezekiel to do. Y'all told Ezekiel, and that's the mindset that I have. It's just like Ezekiel. You see it in Ezekiel 3. He says, verse 18, he said, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, same thing. What we just dealt with, Ezekiel 18. And thou givest him not warning, nor speaking to warn the wicked from his wicked ways to save his life. See, I gotta tell it to give the opportunity for the life to be delivered. We have to tell it. What you know, you have to tell. You have to share this information. To save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Y'all said, boy, if you hold what you know, and you walk past people, and you don't tell them the truth, and allow them to die, I'm requiring their blood on your hand. Because you had the information and you wouldn't share it. Again, when a righteous man doeth turn from his righteousness and commit an iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered. but his blood will I require thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doeth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also thou hast delivered thy soul. And the hand of Yah was upon me. Let me go back up. I think I missed something. No, I didn't. And so that's what it's explaining in a nutshell, is that if I hold the information, whether the person is wicked or righteous, then their blood is required on my hand. If I share the information, whether the person is wicked or righteous, and it caused them to operate in righteousness or in iniquity, then their blood is required in their own hand. I'm not... my soul will be delivered because I told the truth. Y'all, like, I hold you accountable for souls in telling them the truth. Once you tell them, from that point on, it's up to them what they want to do with it. And so that's our responsibility. Our responsibility is just to share it as y'all lead. You know, I got to say, and I don't believe in going around pouring Jesus all over everybody. I look for opportunities and leading where Yah opens the door for things to be shared, and I think the understanding is better that way, because, you know, if you come to me and try to force something down my throat, I'm going to throw it up. That's a survival tactic. Ram something down my throat, I throw it up. But if you come there and give me an opportunity to taste it and see if I like it or not, then I may chew on it. You know, y'all know me, I eat stuff, I'll be like, well, I don't like it. You know, but I ate it. That's the way I look at it as far as the you know, things of the kingdom are concerned. I give people opportunity to taste it. If they don't like it, fine. If they do, amen. I done my part. Okay? And so, you know, so every opportunity that presents itself, when our people start to complain, you know, look for the opportunity and wisdom to explain to them why we're in the situation that we're in. And if they accept it, fantastic. If they don't, you've done what you're supposed to do. Okay? I'm finished. Any questions, comments? We good? All right, I'll stop here. Father, y'all, we bless your name on today, and we thank you for your word. And it is a hard pill to swallow to realize that the situation that we're in is because of our doing historically. We as a people have been wicked since the time we left Egypt. And we just ask you to continue to lead and guide us to make the necessary changes to be pleasing to you, so that you can deliver us out of the hands of our enemies. And we bless you for that. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen. Amen.